Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by our friends at Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a big radio midget production. Back in the swing of things here as we are coming into to August, of course, already in the month, and feeling the heat and kind of looking forward to fall, Brad. I don't know where you are. It's probably always winter, summer, spring, fall at one time, but here in Houston, it's a little bit different this time of year. We are so tired of the heat and of the dry conditions and such. So, anyway, Kelly Scalota, our special guest, Kelly Marie Scalota, is in Pittsburgh today. Now, in Pittsburgh, it rains sometimes, so I'm kind of jealous. Anyway, good to have you here. What are you up to, Brad?
Well, you know, Ray, I know you're a big golfing fan. You have mentioned many times on the show of watching as much golf as you can, even back in the old days when it would be on one of the broadcast networks, right?
Right.
Well, apparently being dead hasn't prevented John Wayne from ranking near the top of the list when polls ask Americans to pick their favorite movie stars, as I'm sure Michael Jackson will be popular for many decades to come. And being a retired player for the better part of a decade has not stopped Michael Jordan, surprisingly enough, from scoring strongly. When people were asked to cite their favorite sports stars, Jordan comes in second in the Harris poll, topped only by who, would you guess?
As far as Jordan-type stars or Tiger Woods,
yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, I knew exactly. With that hint, I knew. Tiger is in the top position, fourth straight appearance in the number one spot, by the way. Filling out the top five were LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and Derek Jeter. So interesting that Jordan, who had, you know, a hell of a brand back when he was playing and made all kinds of money, probably set the bar high for many sports celebrities to follow in.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, you know, gather great sums of money for doing the same. But here he is still, number two, surprisingly, by Harris. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you mentioning sponsorships and such, and golf as we tie that in. General Motors is no longer going to sponsor the Buick Open. Obviously, it won't be called the Buick Open, will it?
Well, yeah. Can't do that without a Buick, huh?
This is ending a half-century run as a sponsor of the Open as it tries to focus scarce marketing dollars on cars and trucks. A person briefed on the decision said this past week, GM and the tour officials will make the announcement after this year's Open, which begins, it's actually going on, basically. So they're saying it's over. 50 years. 50 years that they did that. Mm. Times are a-changing, huh?
Yeah.
I guess the Buick Open will be turning in their sponsorship for a government credit, $4,500 they're going to get. That's basically,
what does that say about perceptions of value of sponsorships? I mean, you know, not that GM could do anything about that with the demise of Buick, but
well, frankly, I think it says a lot, and I'm not so sure that it makes a lot of sense that they're doing it at this time. I mean, I understand some cuts, and I understand some silly things that had to be done to take advantage of the fact that if you want to stay in business, you better make some changes. But I'm not so sure that positioning yourself away from an event, maybe scaling down, maybe doing things a little bit differently, but pulling out after 50 years, I'm not a big fan of doing something over and over and over again just because you've been doing it all those years. But it seems to me that Buick and the U.S., the Open is a good connection there. So I find that kind of odd that they would do that. I don't know.
Well, setting aside the fact that Buick is a brand, I guess, that's going away, I guess they could have slid in one of their other GM brands. But I guess, you know, the association was so tight with Buick, maybe GM decides to give it a rest. I don't know.
I've got a story to tell, too, about the car dealerships, or not the dealerships, but the car makers, too. As well, we're going to take a break, make a moment for Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. It's called the one-way interruption. What is that? Well, you'll find out.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The primary technique of advertising was once interruption. Interrupting your TV program, the magazine article you were reading, or the songs you were listening to in your car with a one-way message. Advertisers crafted images and messages that would make you pay attention and not wander off to make popcorn during commercials or tune to another station looking for music. These are the outdated rules of advertising that new media is blowing out of the water. Marketing simply means advertising and branding. Advertising needs to appeal to the masses. Advertising relies on interrupting people to get them to pay attention to your message. Advertising is one way, company to consumer. Advertising is exclusively about selling things. Creativity is the most important component of advertising. It is more important for the ad agency to win awards than for your client to win new customers. Advertising and PR are separate disciplines run by different people with separate goals, strategies, and measurement criteria. Now, here are the new rules. Marketing is more than just advertising. People want authenticity, not spin. People want participation, not propaganda. Instead of causing one-way interruption, marketing delivers content at the exact moment your audience needs it. Marketers shift thinking away from mainstream marketing to the masses, instead of reaching vast numbers of underserved audiences via the internet. Marketing is not about your agency winning awards, it's about your organization winning business. Companies must drive people into the purchase with great online content. Blogs, podcasts, press release, and other forms of online content let companies communicate with buyers in the format they prefer. On the web, there is a blurry line between PR and marketing. And there you have it, my friends, the new rules.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin Abbas, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Quick story before we go to the break and our interview with Kelly Murray Scalota. A class reunion a few weeks ago in Bay Village, Ohio. One of my classmates is a corporate pilot for Ford. I should say was. He was the guy that flew those folks to Washington. And he said, boy, it sure was a crappy trip back home. And he is no longer employed by Ford Motor Company, even though Ford worked out okay. But
is he a driver now for him?
No, he gets an unemployment check. I think they sold the airplane, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, really, it's kind of sad. It's like, well, man, that's not fair. Kelly Scalota has written a book, and it's a really cool book. Let me get it here. It says, Too Busy to Shop, Marketing to Multi-Minding Women. Not multi-minded, but multi-minding women. And we're going to talk to Kelly and find out more about the book and more about what she does. And we'll also give you some background info here. At the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Schiphol.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com, and it's a great program called Tendency. Check it out. All right? Back in a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Hey.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
Welcome back, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Kelly Murray Scalota is a mom, an author, an MBA, and a public relations executive, a partner director of Ketchum's global brand marketing practice. She's recognized authority on marketing to women. She's the architect of a widely publicized women 25 to 54. Who doesn't want that demo? A communications offering that offers a better way to reach multi-minded female consumers. Out of Pittsburgh this weekend. Kelly, it's great to have you on The Advertising Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you, Kelly. To start off, you know, there have been a lot of books written on this subject in the past, titles such as The Soccer Mom Myth, Mom 3.0, Why She Buys, Marketing to Women, and others. I'm curious, why did you decide to write a book on marketing to women today, and also have things changed that significantly in the past few years?
Yeah, both good questions. You know, it seems like there are a number of books out there in the marketplace and some good ones. And in fact, I know a lot of the people who have written those books. But really, there aren't as many books as there are demand for the knowledge in the marketplace, believe it or not. Marketing to women has become a very hot topic, and I guess that would make sense because women control about 85% of the household spending and an increasing amount of spending for even non-traditional categories like consumer electronics and cars, and they're also taking on more and more of the business-to-business buying in the marketplace. So it's a very lucrative demographic. So even though there are resources out there, what I found when I was investigating writing a book is that there aren't enough resources yet to meet those demands in the marketplace. And you're right, things have changed even in the past couple of years. I was recently at the Blog Her conference, and I will tell you that the impact of the digital and social media and the bloggers out there in the marketing to women space have made great changes over the past couple of years. And as marketers and business owners, we need to really be up to speed with all of that that's happening out there in the marketplace and how we should be communicating with women today.
You know, early on in your book, you discuss how women are not a niche market. I think a lot of people make that mistake and look at the women's consumer market as a niche market. Explain what you mean by this.
Well, it used to be that marketing to women popped up in kind of the diversity areas of marketing. In fact, it was interesting. I was just having lunch with an executive today, and their marketing to women efforts are still housed in the diversity area, and she is trying to move them out of there because marketing to women is no longer a niche. For many companies, especially those who are marketing consumer packaged goods and a whole range of goods, they really are the mainstream audience. They're not a niche anymore. And so a focus on them is not only completely understandable, but very necessary.
You know, you mentioned 85% of household spending is done by women. Can you just delve into a little bit more of quantifying the women market for us? And then I'm also curious, Kelly, if the, struggling economy, we'll call it, that we're all experiencing right now, if the numbers are still holding up.
Yes, great question. Some statistics from Marketing to Women Conference, which is the largest Marketing to Women Conference in the country. Women are responsible for 85% of all consumer purchases, 91% of new homes, 66% of personal computers, 92% of vacations, 80% of healthcare decisions, 65% of new cars, and the list goes on and on. And I will tell you what I have seen in this particular economy is that some companies are really waking up to the fact that women are their key consumer and are focusing more laser-like than ever on them. There was an article in March, I believe, in The Economist, where they said, you know, really in this economy, you should be focused almost solely on marketing to women if that's your audience. It only makes sense in a recession to focus all of your energies on the customer that's going to, have the biggest bang for your marketing buck.
Well, it seems like pretty much of a given already. I mean, shouldn't the advertisers already understand this concept, Kelly?
You know, I think there is some widespread acceptance that women are the audience, but really how do you reach them is, I think, where we need to continue to, investigate and do better. Women, in my research and a lot of secondary research that I looked at to write the book, are saying that they want marketers to be engaged in more of a relationship with them. So they want to hear from them on a more consistent basis. They want the marketer's messages to be filtered through credible sources like online friends and family or real-life friends and family or experts who can testify to the fact that this product is good or might suit their needs. They want to hear from a range of people, not just marketed to through one channel. So, you know, it might be the case that they want to see it in the newspaper, they want to see it online, they want to see it at the soccer field, they want to see it at the school PTA meeting. And all of those touch points put together is what will break through to what I call this multi-minding woman. She's bypassed multitasking, and she's mentally juggling the many different dimensions of her life, and you need to really touch base with her throughout the day point, or the touch points of her life, throughout the day parts, to make sure that you're really resonating with her.
You know, in the short 45 seconds or so that we have left in this segment, Kelly, you mentioned that marketers need to be effectively reach women, need to be asking themselves questions such as what women are wanting to, in the terms of new particular products that are directed towards them. You also mentioned how marketers need to understand how women want to be talked to. Can you talk a little bit about how women do want to be talked to in a marketing environment?
Sure. I think they're saying loud and clear that the first thing before you talk to them is that you have to listen to them. And I've seen this come up time and time and time again, online and offline, that before, what marketers haven't done is before they do the talking, they need to do the listening. And the listening is what really informs then all the talking and the engagement you will do post that. If you just ask, women will tell you what messages they want to hear, when they want to hear them, and how they want to be marketed to. Just ask, and they'll tell you.
That's what our wives have been saying for quite a long time, Kelly. I think they're right as well, right? Kelly Murray Scalota is our special guest here at The Advertising Show. The book is called Too Busy to Shop, Marketing to Multi-Minding Women, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. More time with Kelly? Absolutely. We'll do that in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, Kelly Murray Scalota out of Pittsburgh, our special guest this weekend. Too busy to shop, marketing to multi-minding women. And what I want to do is know what a 38-hour day is, and if I can get some of that, Kelly. What is that all about?
Well, just ask a woman, right? When we've interviewed women and when others have, what they're telling us is that they are so busy today that they're actually compressing 38 hours of activity into any 24-hour day. So there's a lot going on in the lives of those women out there that we're trying to market to, which makes it more important than ever that we understand their busy lifestyles and we reach them holistically and credibly so that we can break through all of the madness that's going on in their lives.
You know, as a guy, I feel kind of cheated there, Kelly. I think sometimes us guys do the 38 and possibly even the 40. But, that's okay. We're talking about women this time around.
Well, when you do the research on that, you can share it with me.
I will be more than happy to. Go ahead, Brad.
So, Kelly, Kelly, I'm curious. A lot of people, I think, overestimate women's influence on male-focused purchases. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. I think what we're finding is that Even in categories where women aren't the primary purchaser, which is becoming fewer and fewer categories, they are a major influencer. Even before they were the primary purchaser of cars, which they are, and before they really ramped up their purchases of consumer electronics, they are huge influencers. But women go about that purchasing process differently than men, and neither one is good or bad. It's just different. Women tend to do a lot of upfront research, both online and offline, talking to friends, looking at websites, and really getting their ducks in a row, if you will, before they make that purchase. Men, on the other hand, tend to make a more straightforward purchase, go into a retail outlet or onto an online site and be guided by the information that's there or the salespeople that are there and make a direct decision. Where women are really set up to be a little more circuitous in their decision making.
Well, let's stay with some of the drivers behind what makes women tick with regard to purchases and talk a little bit about what you call Trust River, a concept that you, I guess, coined?
Well, that is a concept that actually came up in the interview I did with Stacy DeBroff, who is the principal at Mom Central, a group that is really, really in touch with what especially moms today are thinking, and a lot of their work is done online. And what Stacy and I were talking about in the book is that women, as a way to take shortcuts in their lives, you know, we just got done talking about how busy they are, use information online from kind of their virtual friends and family as these rivers of information that they trust. And so they go to those places as shortcuts in their decision-making or their research process. And so making sure that there is a stream of information, especially online, that is guided by people they consider to be their virtual friends and family is really important in the female decision-making process today.
You know, I must tell you, when I read that research in your book determined that women 25 to 54 on average think about 9.5 things at any given five-minute period, it was comforting to know that's why I can't keep my own wife's attention for very long. But, it also made me
realize... Yeah, Brad, I'm sorry to say you're the 0.5, okay, pal?
It also made me realize that I guess certain message strategies need to be considered, especially when... considering the fact that there's all this mental activity going on, I would think infomercials would be a terrible platform for reaching women.
Well, I think you're spot on. I think that women are saying to us that really any long-form communication, I mean, even a 30-second spot is something that is beyond the stretch of their attention right now. They're really juggling so many things at the same time. So that's why it's so important to make sure that you have multiple touch points within her life. She is going to miss you if you're only on one channel, in one dimension, for the very reasons that you just talk about. So it's really important that you have short-form messages that she can quickly grab onto, that she can easily digest. And then I think what's important to note is that women do like to dig into long-form information at certain points in their researching and decision-making process. And so having websites that go into a deep dive or a brochure in some cases that provide a wealth of information, she wants that at some point. But really to get her engaged, it has to be very short form.
With that said, we've got to take a break here. And guarantee it'll be short, okay? Not a problem, at least 15 seconds or so. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Our special guest out of Pittsburgh is Kelly Marie Scalota, author of the book. It's a brand new book called Too Busy to Shop, Marketing to Multi-Minding Women. We're going to talk more with Kelly in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Thanks for being a part of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. It's called Too Busy to Shop, Marketing to Multi-Minding Women. The author is Kelly Murray Scalota out of Pittsburgh. And Kelly, it's certainly a pleasure to have you here. With the things that we heard earlier, I'm thinking that I'm buying probably 15 traffics next week, Brad, to communicate with my wife and possibly even upping the tweets. I think that'd probably be a good idea. So are women into, obviously, the Facebook thing? There's no doubt about that. What a quick way to communicate there and get your message out there. What about things like platforms like Twitter and Facebook?
Well, 42 million women are now blogging or reading blogs. And Twitter says the fastest growing segment of their population is women. And, of course, women have populated Facebook in huge numbers for a long time now. And now that social media interaction has bypassed email as the most popular form of online communication, I would think it's safe to say that there are millions and millions of women out there who are communicating via social media. I find it really interesting to study that part of communicating to women, and I think you absolutely have to be online and working through social media. That said, women have also told us that they really love when something exists offline as well. So when we're thinking of marketing programs, ideally you'd have a very strong online component complemented by a real-life offline component.
Okay.
Now I want to go back to when we were discussing during the first segment how women want to be talked to. You know, here on the Advertising Show, we play classic spots from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and some of these, of course, taken in that context, are entertaining, but certainly today would be an
sexist
insult. Yes, yes. So I'm curious, in today's world, Kelly, are there still branding and marketing efforts being made that are stereotypical of trying to speak to women and stumbling all over themselves and miscuing?
Well, I think that there have certainly been some examples, even in the recent past, where women have kind of rebelled against the stereotypes that have portrayed them in, you know, advertising and other forms of communication. I think you see it less and less, but yes, those stereotypes do still exist, and you do still see marketers using them, although fortunately to a smaller and smaller degree all the time.
You know, it's amazing in 2009 that would even still be going on. On a positive note, who are some of the brands that you recognize as having some of the greater credibility in the eyes of the multi-minded woman?
Yeah, I think there are a number of brands who are doing really nice work. I think that some of the Kellogg brands, including Special K, have done great work in really trying to show women that they are a great weight management partner, primarily because they listened at the outset of their program and really constructed forums that help to engage women on a regular basis. I think products like Clorox Greenworks, which is a relatively new set of cleaning products to the marketplace, has done an outstanding job of connecting with women and showing them how an environmentally friendly cleaner can really meet their needs. That's been a hot topic in some circles for some time. I think even a very traditional product like Barbie, which is a product by Mattel, has done some really interesting things lately to connect with girls and moms in a really consistent basis, and they certainly used her 50th birthday as a way to kind of reinvent her. So I think there are plenty of really good examples out there.
Yeah, it was a dark day when they did away with Ken here at the advertising show. You talked a little bit about the, you talked a little bit earlier in the interview, Kelly, about the Marketing to Women conference, which is, if you're interested in that, check that out online at the letter M, the number 2, and the letter W.biz, a conference that just took place. Just to wrap up the interview, share with us the high points of the conference, if you would.
I think what came out of the conference this year was really interesting. There were a couple of highlights that rose to the top for me. One is that communications absolutely must be in the digital space as well as in the real-world space now. And they gave lots of good examples of how that was being done on behalf of brands. And then I think another really important aspect was that women really appreciate the kind of cause marketing side of a campaign. And so don't do it for the sake of doing it, but really build it into the essence of what you're doing, and women will appreciate it and love you back for it.
Good thoughts to finish on, Kelly, and we certainly wish you the best of luck as you sell a lot of these books. We suggest you pick one up. Too Busy to Shop, Marketing to Multi-Minding Women. Kelly, it's been a pleasure having you here on the Advertising Show.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. In just a minute, we've got more for you. Don't go away.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat.
Hey, many thanks to Kelly Scalota, author of Marketing to Multi-Minded Women. And it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Next week, we've got Saul Berman. Saul is partner and global executive at IBM Global Services, and we will find out more about that next week here with Ray and Brad. We've got, coming up in just a moment, didn't mention this before, Gene Bliss, who's a great addition to the show. The customer experience is going to be talking about Newegg.com. Here in the Houston market, we don't have Trader Joe's. Brad, are you familiar with Trader Joe's or not?
Yeah, it's out of California, but, you know, a hell of a store. I've never stepped foot in it, but I've heard many, many great things about it.
Well, the interesting thing is it's very, very natural, food-oriented. It's got a lot of good stuff. It's a little bit different. It's kind of like a Whole Foods, except it's a small version of that. In other words,
right.
It probably only has, I would say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 aisles. Where you're talking Whole Foods, you're talking, you know, 26 aisles. The same concept, though, and just a lot of cool stuff. And they had a wine tasting. They had, you could buy a wine tasting by the cup, 10 cents, so I bought a dollar's worth.
Oh, you went to one of those stores.
I did, yes. This is in outside of Cleveland, Ohio, in Westlake, at a place called Crocker Park, which is very apropos place for a place like Trader Joe's, yes.
I understand they have certain products that are only available at Trader Joe's. Did you notice?
Yeah, I bought some. You'd get a kick out of this. I bought some of Trader Joe's. It was Frugal Joe's beer. And
any good?
No. The point is that it tastes like light beer that had fewer calories taken out of it or something.
And it sat in your trunk all summer.
I drank it, but it had to be very cold to actually taste like beer. Mm. But I'm sure that they have other brands that are good. So Trader Joe's, but this week Jean is talking about Newegg.com. She's getting into more of these, you know, cool kind of businesses that that are really making a point of doing a good job for the consumer. So with that said, why don't we just take a listen to this right now? Here's Jean Bliss.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Newegg.com is the second largest online-only retailer in the United States. It's like the mothership to technology fanatics, carrying a dizzying level of inventory to ensure that customers can get what they want when they want it. At the core of Newegg's fast growth is its decision to grow through fanaticism for its customers and the experience it delivers to them. So once you've found the motherboard of your heart's desire or a flat-screen TV and proceed to checkout, Newegg.com makes sure that things stay between you and them. There are no pop-up ads from third-party vendors after you've finished your transaction. Newegg.com doesn't want to muck up the hard work it's put into its website and customer experience in the name of getting a few more dollars out of its shoppers. As a result, 600,000 average daily visitors go to their website, staying about 20 minutes per visit, four times the industry average for online retailers. Do you deliver a closing memory? What's the last thing you want your customers to remember after you say goodbye?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thanks, Jean. By the way, Jean has got a new book coming out here shortly, and we will let you know more about that as we are told as well. It's a big secret right now. I mean, they can't tell us or they'd have to shoot us. I don't want that to happen. So anyway, Jean Bliss has a new book, and we will tell you more about that as it gets close to the release date. And, of course, we'll talk about it here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. I don't chew a lot of gum, but you know, sometimes I'll have a piece of gum. But what they're suggesting, basically, they're for those who can't take good care of themselves because of no health insurance or dental insurance, they're saying, chew gum. It's good for you. Now, I can't imagine the American Dental Association endorsing that concept, but back in the 1970s, Trident gum was basically, and you'll remember this too as well, 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend sugarless gums for their patients who chew gum. So what they're suggesting is chewing gums promise to whiten teeth or kill germs that cause foul breath. Consumers are biting for the 52 weeks that ended back in July. Revenue for the sugarless brands, many of which claim some dental benefit, rose 6% over the previous year, $2.2 billion we chewed. And they're saying as long as the deep economic recession lasts, which some say we're coming out of, I'm not sure, millions of Americans will think of saving money on postponed visits to the dentist every time they select a chewing gum. Man, that's too far-fetched.
I think that's the same 4 out of 5 doctors that recommended Luckies over Camels.
You're probably right. And speaking of that, did you hear that? That's pretty good. Speaking of cancer, did you hear the claims as of late about the tanning beds? They're suggesting that tanning beds are worse than smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. I don't know how you make those comparisons. I know that's probably not good for you, but I just don't know how you stretch that to cigarettes. I don't get that.
Well, they're suggesting that, they're suggesting that the possibility of a melanoma from tanning beds is high, as much as it would be for you to inhale your favorite brand Lucky Strike or Terryton.
So, yeah, I saw that the other day on the news. Who knows who's behind that? The anti-tanning bed organization.
Yeah, they had their their conference in Nome this past year.
You know, but if you want some sun, just step outside and put yourself some sunscreen on.
There you go.
Get yourself a little liquid or a little vitamin D via the sun.
There you go. What a concept. There's a compromise. I got it. Advertising show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at nh.com. And by Captivate Network. Visit them at Captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.